Chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. I am happy you're here, and I trust that this is a great day for fathers in our church. In my 19 years plus of being at Lake County, I have rarely ever preached on a Father's Day. I think I only preached on Father's Day one other time. For some reason, Pastor Kowak always gets that duty. Maybe because he is a And I say this, some of you don't get humility. And you, when you hear humility, you think someone's lying. Pastor Kowak is a better father than I am. There is no question about that. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's all stand, please. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read the first four verses. Today will just be a practical sermon. We won't do a lot of deep theology, but it will be hopefully something helpful. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee. And then he tells us what the promise is. I mean, he's quoting Exodus 20. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to do something today. This will not be a deep theological discussion. It will be something very practical. I'm going to talk about giving dads their due. How do you do this? How do you honor your father? We'll open this up, and I think you'll understand where I'm going. This is simple, because to preach on Father's Day, believe it or not, is not necessarily an easy task. If you had a good father, this is a great day. If you had a terrible father, this is a tough day, because you're commanded to honor your father. How do you do that? That's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to make this real simple and practical today. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have as believers to come to you. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on Calvary, him giving himself for us, unbelievably, not only are we saved, not only are we declared righteous before you, for reasons way beyond understanding, you adopt us into your family. And we have the privilege of addressing you as our Father. We can even use an Aramaic term if we like, Abba. What a great privilege. Lord, on this day, may we understand and put together and grasp more of this concept of what it means to honor fathers. Thank you for this day. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was probably my third year as a pastor, senior pastor in St. Louis area, and I preached on a Father's Day, and on that Father's Day, I recognized that one of my good men, a man that I'd had a part in leading him to the Lord, he became a deacon, still a deacon there, good man, he was not happy with me preaching on honor your father. Fact is, it was worse than that. He was very upset. Later that week or the next week, he and I got together to talk, and he just flat out told me, he says, I hate my father. May I say this to all of you, especially you that tend to be more religious? I would prefer you to tell the truth than to lie. The worst thing you'll ever do in your Christian life is do religious lying, because there's never ability for you to grow if you lie to yourself religiously. Everybody look at me. Did you hear what I just said? If you lie to yourself, you never grow. The moment you can say, I hate my dad, guess what? God can do something with that. Well, he and I talked, and he said, I didn't know much about his family. He says, my dad abandoned my mom and us children. He left. He moved to a different state, and he would have nothing to do with us. And he even has a new family, wife and kids. Here's the question. How can I honor my father? How can I do that? And to me, that gets to the question. It gets beneath the religion. It gets to the question, how can I honor my Father? Because most of us don't live in a perfect world. And by the way, in America, you have two problems. Some of us did not have perfect fathers. And then you have the American problem, which all of you are part of America today, which is fathers are not honored in our culture. You would be hard-pressed to find any kind of a public setting where fathers are considered to be intelligent, decent, honorable, honest, hardworking. Fathers are usually the doofus. Who knows best today? It's not fathers know best, it's kids know best. And if the kids don't know best, it's mom knows best, but dad, he's stupid. Well, we don't buy into that stupidity at this church. But I'm going to ask the question, how can I honor my Father? I want you to ask that question. So, how do we do this? Look back at, I'm going to read two other texts, and then we're going to look at 6 verse 2 and 3 again. Exodus 20 verse 12 is the first time this is found in the scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. Deuteros is second in Greek. Nomos is law. The second giving of the law. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So here Moses adds to that line, God's already commanded this. And then he gives the promise again, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Paul then says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. How can I honor our Father? Number one. And by the way, I'm going to get under this. If you're a religious person, I'm going to come after you because I've already said, unless you start telling the truth, you'll never do what the Bible commands. You'll make everything religious. You know, I've been to the funerals where daughters say things about their fathers that everybody there knows is a lie. Worst funeral I was ever at just about was somebody connected to this church where the daughter got up and said, my dad was the greatest and could never find a better dad. And I'm like, really? The dad was living with an 18-year-old girl, and he was in his 60s, smoking dope, had abandoned the family, had ruined all the daughters, but you never could find a better father. That's called lying. And look at me, it happens in church a lot. Christian lying, religious lying. So I'm going to say number one, and then I'm going to explain it. Here's where we begin. Honor what you can. Honor what you can. Let me say it another way. Honor all that you can. So actually take a hard look at your father and honor everything that's honorable. Is that fair, folks? Now, I have some things written I want to read. There is a command in this text three different times. Exodus, Deuteronomy, Ephesians. It's commanded, and then the promise is given, and they're still applicable to us. And I believe, with few exceptions, most of us have to come to grips with our real father. Unless you're grew up in a family with extreme outliers, either you grew up in a family with a perfect dad. And I don't even mean absolute perfect, but there are fathers that are just exceptional fathers. Mr. Kenji is with the Lord now. The more I learned about the man that many of us love, that some of you don't know who I'm talking about, he was a legend in Cameroon. Vibin, your father and mother, didn't your mother go to school where he taught someplace? Do you remember? I mean, this man was super father. If you grew up with a father like that, Bambi thinks her dad was that way, yes? Yes. You don't really have a problem with honoring your father, but unless you grew up with that extreme, or you have the exact opposite. Either your father was perfect or your father was perfectly evil. This sermon's for you. Because most of us, we grew up with dad somewhere in between perfect and perfectly evil. Yes? Yes? I think that's where our dads were. So how do you do this? I think you honor what you can. You honor all you can. If you happen to grow up with Mr. Akinji, or I'm going to say this, I know it's not true, but Sharon, I never want to hear it. I always thought Mr. Smith was close to perfect. And once in a while, Sharon would say he had tempers. And I don't want to hear any of that nonsense. For me, Mr. Smith was pretty close to perfect. I love that guy. How he came up with a grandson like Justin, I have no idea, but I liked him. If you grew up with that way, or you grew up with, by the way, do you know what? Justin asked me, where's John at this morning? And I said, what is my name? John calls me Bad Dad. I'm on this side. So in those cases, you know, you're going to have to work with this. How do you do it? You start looking at what you can honor. Bill, I'll call his name, from my church in St. Louis, after 2 or 3 years of working through, by the way, he started with truth. After working through some things in his own mind, I can remember him the last 2 or 3 years I was there. We would go out to eat, and he would say, Pastor, I've finally come to grips with my father. First thing he realized was his father wasn't perfectly evil like his mother said he was. That he actually found out that the perfectly evil part of his father had a lot to do with the perfectly evil part of his mother being a closet, stumbled down drunk that none of the kids knew about because Dad, for decades, covered it up. So what happened was he came to grips, look at me, with his real dad and his real mom. And he came to the place where he had a proper relationship with the real mom and the dad that had abandoned the family, and he could tell the truth and honor what he could. And actually, when we left there, he had a pretty good relationship with both. Now, I don't want to make this about me. I'm not going to get into my childhood other than to say this. My dad wasn't perfect, and he wasn't perfectly evil. You say, which direction was him? Hard to say. Most of you did not grow up around violence from your father to you. Most of you did not grow up around language that I heard directed to the kids, me. I grew up with that stuff. I grew up with anger, violence, language, and number four, my dad never had a clue that when you have children, children are to have a relationship with. Children are not obstacles to your... Dad wasn't into happiness. He just didn't have a clue. My dad had no clue that when you had kids, that it would be okay to talk to them occasionally. It would be okay to have... he didn't get that. So my dad's relationship with me for the first 18 years was basically zero. He was angry all the time about a lot of different things, probably his childhood. He was violent towards us at times. He used language that was way outside the pale of anybody. He said things to my older sister that should never be said to any human, frankly. And when the smoke clears, you got to come to grips. He wasn't perfect, but he wasn't perfectly evil. So here's what I've done. When I look back at my father, I can honor him. Look at me. We're talking about you because you have a dad too. Now, I know some of the dads in this room weren't good men. So how are you going to obey this? Are you going to do the religious thing that acts like my dad, your dad was perfect? Are you going to do what the Bible teaches? You've got to learn to honor what you can. Or all that you can. Tell the truth, honor what you can. I'll give some suggestions in my own life. When I got away from home, I grew up, I became my own person. I realized here were some very good things about my father. First of all, he always wanted my success. When I look back, even into childhood, my dad had no relationship with me, but for my entire years that he was alive until 2013, I can tell you this, my father always wanted my success. My dad was always happy with my success. Is that something to honor him about? Yes or no? I know dads that aren't happy about that. I know dads that want to keep their children less than them so they feel better. How does that make you feel good? I don't get that. Let me give you another one. My dad was always very happy for my children. Frankly, when I would call him the last years of his life, he was more interested in my kids than he was in me. He would always say, how's Wiggles doing? That's Amy. He would ask about John, how he was doing. He was very happy for my children. How about this one? My dad worked hard at a not very pleasant job. Is that something good? Yes or no? By the way, please look at me, religious people specifically. You know who you are. If you're a light, drop the lying. If you're really going to honor your Father, you have to step back and say, what can I honor him for? Not lie, because that will ruin you and your children. Lying never takes, by the way, it's the truth that sets you free. I can honor my dad for working hard. He worked hard at a steel mill. Not a pleasant job. I can honor my father because he took care of us. I can honor my father in that he took care of my mother. He was not perfect in marriage, but they were married 64 years. I can honor my father that he never interfered in my family. My dad's thinking was, when you get married, that's your family. I've done my part. Now it's time for you to move on. I can honor my father for a love of baseball. You know, I looked at the standings. I got online, Jim, this morning. I did it on purpose. I went into sin. When I got here, I got online because I just wanted to make sure today the best team in baseball is the St. Louis Cardinals in every league. And I got that. Yes, Jordan, I like you too. And I got that from my father and my whole family, and it's in the blood. But I'm serious. It's something that we shared, and you got that good part from my dad. I got things from my dad about patriotism. It's hard to believe 70 years ago, isn't it? 70 years ago, the war was over, World War II. The men that are still alive are in their late 80s and into their 90s. Watched a thing on PBS last night about some Greek guy, Maggie's War. The guy was from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, of all things. He was in the 82nd Airborne, an hour program on PBS. I wept the whole time. You say what? I'm going to say this and move on. I want everyone to look at me. It's time that we come to the place where we can honor what we can. Don't lie. Don't make your father out to be Superman. Don't make your father out to be something he wasn't. Make honor every single thing you do. He did that was proper, right, good, godly, pro-America, pro-right and wrong, and my father had a bunch of that. Was he perfect? No. He wasn't Mr. Akinji. I wish I had grown up with Mr. Akinji. He wasn't perfectly evil. My dad was somewhere in between, by the way, about where most of our fathers are. Number two, look back at Ephesians 6. This is going to take us a little different direction. And by the way, this is something you can start doing right now this morning. Honor thy father and mother. I like this command. Here's a second way of applying this. Number one, honor what you can, or honor all you can in your father. And number two, how about this? Honor those you can. Now, I want everyone to look at me. Then I want you to do this. I want you to look around the room. Do you realize this church is weird? You don't know that. You don't recognize how many churches you go to and how many pastors that I know that are friends of mine. When I call them, they say, well, I don't have any men that are qualified to be deacons in our church. And I'm like, really? I have too many men qualified to be deacons in this church. Think about this. They meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3. They're already servants of this church. They haven't been married and divorced four times. We got a bunch of them. Do you not understand the difference? Yes or no? You haven't been to churches. I was talking to a pastor of a church in Waukegan, Zion area, Waukegan, North Chicago area, in a pastor's meeting, and the pastor just blurted out, he says, well, you know that 75 to 90% of the people in our church are women. Have you looked around here? This church is filled with men. Now, we have women, godly women, and I'm happy. By the way, you come not only to honor all that you can in your own father, you honor those you can honor. Lake County is not perfect. It has its gaps. But I find that we have a large group of men, godly men, good men, and frankly, very good fathers. And we have those good fathers of all ages. And frankly, I'd like to have a few more of the fathers who aren't to become that. So Pastor Warren is going to talk about some of those men this morning. One of them I can talk about right now. They're not here this morning. I'm going to talk about people. I'm going to name names. Last year in K-5, I would go into K-5, and, you know, they had this crazy teacher in there. What's her name? Anyhow, I'd go into K-5, and Nicole would be there, and she'd go do her thing, and I'd be there with the kids. Have you ever talked to Kui? When you talk to Kui, 5 years old, forget Kui. Talk to his little sister. Talk to Mia. Zeben, how old is Mia? Is she three? You know how they speak to me? I'll say, how are you doing, Kui? How are you, Kui? Fine, Pastor. They address me like professional adults. Do you know where that comes from? That comes from Dad. Mom, too. By the way, you ought to watch that dad with those kids and the mother. It's like, wow, these kids are grown up and they're 5 years old, 6 years old. How did they get that much maturity and properness? Now, I'm sure American culture will ruin some of that. You know, I'm sure. How about this? I'm in Mexico. Somebody tells me in order to connect with somebody, I have to get an app for my phone. Now, some of you, that's not a problem. First of all, I have to remember that dumb code that goes in the app. You know, there's some long extended, you know, password. Oh, I hate passwords. You got to get a password. So I had to figure out what my password was, and I got that figured out, and I got the app, and the app's called WhatsApp. Now, what I found is everybody that has WhatsApp is already on Viber. The whole point is so you can call over the internet, you know, internationally. And as long as you have Wi-Fi, you can make phone calls. So I get on WhatsApp, and I download WhatsApp, and then it asks, can it go to your contacts and put them on there? And it does that, and it gives me all the people that's on WhatsApp. And the first thing I notice is the same people on Viber on WhatsApp. I don't know why they have it, because they both do the same thing, but they're on there. And then I start looking at the pictures. I'm weird. I wonder, what are those photos? And the first photo I notice is, some of you call him Daniel, Ade Manga. So I click on the little photo. It's tiny. You can't see what it is. And then it blows up. And you know what he has a picture of? Look up here. He had a big selfie, right? No, he had a picture of his wife, Junior, and what else? Poochie lip. Yes. Can I be honest with you? That's what I think of when I think of fathers. Now, I pick on fathers in this room. And just so you know, if I pick on you or if I pick on somebody in this room, there's two things you know. Number one, I like them. And number two, I usually mean the opposite of what I say. So if I don't pick on you, that means I don't like you. We have a lot of good families in this church. The last week of school, Thursday or Friday, Nina showed up at our school. Nina came in and she didn't want to talk to me. It was one of her Bambi and Nina days where they hang out and do whatever women do for 4 hours. I have no idea what women do. All I know, I would go into the office where Bambi's office and Nina would be in there and all they're kind of like goofy and they do those, I don't know, whatever women do. Men don't do that. And I would go in, and I remember one of the times I liked to bother Nina, and I walked in, and Nina, I said, you know, Nina, I like everything about you. And Nina's reply was, except what? Except for what? Say it louder. We can't hear you. Yes. Can you imagine, folks, having Louis Heras as your dad, and you're a girl, and some guy's giving you a hard time? It's almost the end of that guy's natural life. We even have young guys. Josh over here, I love to watch him with his kids. He's probably going to ruin his kids. They'll grow up liking the Bears and lose the rest of their life, the Cubs and never win. But, you know, on the whole, I think Josh is a pretty good guy. Maybe the Blackhawks, though. The Blackhawks won when I was gone, so maybe that'll be good. Good. There's hope for your children. How about this, folks? Steve Tupper, he's quiet, But every time I see Steve, I see a better father than I ever was. He's a good father with Vivian, and he has two sons that are not in ideal circumstances, and he does way, way, way beyond what most fathers would ever do to be a father. Tim McGrail, think about this. He has two lovely children, Haley and Sean. They're both married, both living in different areas. And all I got to say is, Tim, which comes from his mother, that solid, straightforward steadiness, is passed off to those children, and you see them every day. I love it. By the way, do you all have a clue what I'm doing? I'm dropping the religion. I'm saying this. In your own family, you need to honor your father in any way you can. And number two, you need to honor those who you can. And there's a lot of honorable men in this room that are good fathers, very good fathers. I was going to mention Mike Hall, but I'm not convinced he's a good father. He's a good guy, but I think with Carrie, I think Pam's number one job with Carrie was holding him back from giving her the whole world. Recently, on a Sunday night, Jenna, I call her Jenna Bug, John Reiner's daughter, you know, she does that thing. She comes up to me, Pastor, can I have candy? I texted John, I said, I'd give her the car. I mean, I'm glad I'm a grandfather now. I mean, I couldn't deal with her. But, you know, just to watch, oh, I love it. And Mike, trust me, he loves Carrie. I can guarantee you that. But I do think Pam has been the brakes. Atong Pagong, Ray Arceo, has two beautiful daughters. I think he's a pretty good father. Dave Penetrante, every time I look at him, Dave is such a good grandfather. You know, he's such a good grandfather that he has three grandchildren. The two girls, he can carry both one in each arm and the other one some other place. And they love him. And I'm like, wow. May I say this, friend? Once you start honoring somebody other than yourself, you could also learn some things from other people. All of a sudden, you can start saying, I wonder what that father that has children that are going the direction I want my kids to go, I want to look and see what he does. And there's lots of it. I'm going to say this, and I'm done with this part of the sermon. By the way, I told you, this is not deep. Here's what I want you to do when you walk out of here. The father you have, I want you to honor everything about them that's true, good, and honest. Secondly, I want you to honor all those you can honor. And we have a room full of them. Who was it that told me something about the Mogels and how impressed they were with the Mogels with their children? Well, got a good mother, but they got a good father that's very interested in the children. And do you know how rare that is? Here's most dads' relationship to their children. Get out of the way of my TV. You're bugging me. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Yeah, that'll do some good with parenting. By the way, I said at the beginning, Tim Kowak is not perfect. He married Jennifer, but you know what? He is good with those girls. All you got to do is watch him. I love it when I see girls, daughters that love their dad. Because I grew up in a family, my older sister struggled with my dad to this day. Friend, honor all you can about your father. Beyond that, honor those you can. And there's a ton of people in this room. I didn't mention them all. I'm going to mention two guys in connection because I like the same characteristic about both guys. One guy's not here, one guy's here. And I never honor this one guy because I just don't like to. I think of Cliff Gavalis. I remember one little incident happened. And boy, when Cliff found out about that, World War III happened. You say, why? Because Cliff is a man. You mess with his daughter, it is war. And may I say this in a totally different way? My buddy Pete is the same guy. I can pick on anybody in this room, but he still doesn't like me to pick on Justin. And Justin doesn't mind me picking on him because Justin picks on me. Because Pete, don't mess with my family. You know what, my friend? There's something honorable about that. Yes? For all the men in this world that could care less about their kids, we have a host of men in this room that are not that way. Well, I want you to look back at Ephesians 6. We'll go on to the third idea and be done this morning. I didn't say this was going to be difficult, folks. Look at me. It's going to be difficult for some of you to do. If you've been lying about yourself and your family for decades, it's hard to drop that stuff. Number three, and for some of us, we have to come to this place. I want you to start with me in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We got that. Honor thy father and mother. But what's interesting in verse 4, it says, and you fathers. Once we've dealt with the children, whether it be little children, then of course verse 2 is little children and adult children. In verse 4, he switches, but it's still connected to the family. He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Everyone look at me. First of all, simple as this. Honor all you can about your father. Number two, honor those you can. And you got a bunch in this room you can honor. A bunch. And I didn't mention most guys, but you have a whole group. Number three, become a father worth honoring. If you grew up, men, if you grew up in a home where your father was a dishonorable male, become something different. I'm an old guy. Sometimes I get tired of saying the same things. People, when it comes to rearing their children, tend to do one of two things. They either repeat exactly what they grew up around, or they do what? They react. This is dysfunctional, and the opposite of dysfunctional is? Most people, I would say 70 to 80% of the people do exactly what they grew up around. So if they grew up without a father or a worthless father, they become a worthless father. So the text here says, I as a man honor my father, honor the fathers, but then it steps up and says, oh, by the way, when you become a father, become the kind of father that can be honored. Do something different. But don't do this. If you grew up in a home that was critical, you do the extreme opposite and you grow up in a home that never wants to say anything to Junior because Junior's feelings will get hurt. The opposite of dysfunctional is? Do me a favor, say it with me. The opposite of dysfunctional is? Don't repeat, don't react. Grow up and become the kind of father. And by the way, there is 20 guys in this room you could learn something from today about being a father. There's many good fathers in this room. I love to pick on Ralph for many reasons. Number one, because I don't know, I just like to pick on Ralph. But look at his children. Now, a lot of that, of course, comes from on. We all recognize that. But I don't ever like to give, there's certain people I never like to compliment. I don't know why. But I watch Ralph with his children. Do you learn to honor? And if you say, I don't know how to be a father. I didn't have a father, or my father was dishonorable. Scripture, watching men that are good fathers, observing them, don't follow what they did. Don't go the opposite direction. Friend, I grew up in abuse. Please look at me. I grew up in physical abuse. There is no question what I grew up around today would send my father to jail. Look at me. No question. What my dad shot at my brother. Do you consider that abuse? Yes or no? I think it's abuse. So what do you do? Abuse your son? Or do you do the opposite? Well, I don't ever want to say no to Junior because my dad didn't say. Folks, you grow up. I will say this. My son is imperfect in many ways. He gets most of that from me. But when it comes to his son, he is an upgrade on me. Oh, my goodness. Every time I'm with him and watch him, do you realize when my children were small, my wife never left home without the kids? You say, why? Don't be laughing back there, Pete. Because not that I would abuse the children. I might forget where they're at for several days. I like to read and think and get off into my own little world. And And who knows what the kids were doing. I knew they were, I generally knew where they were in general. I called John the other day. I said, John, what you up to? He says, well, I'm putting some light fixtures in, which is just weird to me too. And he says, and Nathan's helping me. And I'm like, you mean you have Nathan with you? Please look at me. I'm not bragging on John thinking he's perfect. But when it comes to a parent, he's a better father than I ever was. You see, I am much better father than my father was. John is the multi-upgraded version. May I say this? Please hear me. I don't know everything about your family, Atong. I know something about your family, Pandak. I know something about you guys' family, too. You guys ought to step forward, way forward. You say, I hate my dad. Look at me. Don't repeat what he did. Don't react to what he did. Become a father that your children can honor. So here's the sermon. Honor all you can about your father. Don't lie. Honor everything you can. Number two, honor those you can. And I'm looking around. We got a host of good, godly fathers in this room. And number three, become a father that your children can honor. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this